As someone who spends my life focused on creating value for others, whether through speaking, writing, or entrepreneurship, finding the perfect gift for loved ones can feel like an impossible task. I always aim to give something that's thoughtful, high quality, and meaningful. But let's be honest, it's not always easy. This year, I found the perfect solution, Quince. Quince allows you to treat your loved ones and yourself to timeless, premium quality gifts at a price that makes sense. As someone who values efficiency and excellence, I was impressed by their approach to creating luxury without the luxury price tag. I've personally been drawn to their Mongolian cashmere sweater. It's a classic, versatile piece that fits right into my lifestyle. And if you're like me and travel a lot, their packable puffer jackets are a game changer. Lightweight, warm, and stylish, they're perfect for anyone on the go this holiday season. Quince is committed to doing the things the right way. They partner only with factories that follow safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices. And every piece they create is made with premium fabrics and finishes to give you that luxury feel. Get luxury this holiday season without the luxury price tag. Go to quince.com/playbook for 365-day returns plus free shipping on your order. That's Quince, quince.com/playbook to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/playbook.
I really liked your definition of happiness, by the way, because it's an infinite game. It's the pursuit of potential. So it's not a destination. Like it's a forever kind of thing, which I really appreciate. So I'm a big believer that if we want something to happen, then we should financially incentivize people to make that thing happen. Show me the money.
Mm-hmm.
What are some ways that we can financially incentivize people, businesses, in order to achieve this thing? How do we financially incentivize people to solve this problem?
So in the activity you get paid for, the best way to incentivize people is with pay. So I'm going to repeat that. In activity you get paid for, the best way to incentivize people is to pay them. But most people don't take the time to understand what we're actually incentivizing people to do according to that pay. And so I'm very clear and spend a lot of time each year determining how am I aligning what I'm incentivizing them to do with my objective, which is to make more money, help more people, and have more fun.
Yep.
And so I break it down into two different incentivized. So I believe in lower salaries and higher bonuses. And I'll tell you why. The minute you give someone a raise on a salary, they stop appreciating it the second month you've given it to them. They're very appreciative when you give them a raise, but month two, no appreciation at all. And it's just human nature. It's nothing personal. When you have a bonuses that are tied to incentives that are aligned with the betterment of the collective, meaning that if you do these things, we will all make more money, help more people, and have more fun. And I clearly define, if you're going to work for me, our mission is not commission, but our mission is to make more money, help more people, and have more fun. And so my incentives to pay you more in activity you get paid for, resulting in monthly bonuses, are really simple. Everyone is incentivized to sell, but not to close. So I break down sales into five areas, and I clearly define your position in what area your job is for. So take Justin, head of my media, vice president of my company, an executive. He's not a closer, but what he does stimulates a ton of interest. So that's one of the criteria that I'm going to bonus you for, is how much interest is Justin stimulating? He also can transition interest through what he does. He can. So there's two areas that he's incentivized in the sale. So everyone's assigned stimulate interest, transition interest, share a vision, manage and develop a vision, and thrive. Meaning how many people, some people, their job is to community manage, meaning, hey, these are already clients of ours. How many clients are our clients getting? Remember, our objective is to build a neighborhood of people that are helping each other and know people that can help each other because they're going to buy from each other and sell for each other. So I've already clearly defined everybody in my company and know incentivize what part of sales from stimulating interest, transition interest, share vision, manage, develop a vision, and thrive. That's one half of their bonus every month. Then comes the other side, which is number one, mentorship. So they're incentivized to mentor and be mentor.
Can I rephrase our question? Because I think what I was trying to get to is, what are the biggest levers you think we need to pull in order to make 1 billion people happy? The reason I was phrasing it the way is, what are the capitalistic reasons we can use to incentivize people to make 1 billion people happy?
Look, the only way you're going to get to over 1 billion people to be happy is to empower 1,000 people to empower 1,000 people to empower 1,000 people.
So how do we do that? How do we empower 1,000 people? And
so you actually have... Yeah, you actually have to do things like this, because it's going to be repetition and honesty that occurs, that creates and empowers people. So I can't just in one session take somebody and say, oh, you're ready to go. You're going to be able to empower 1,000 people to empower 1,000 people. So I have to be committed to people like Poonam, to people like Richie and Kathy, Jeremy, to have consistent conversations so that they fall in alignment with values, daily practices, incentives, and execution. So I help people with their values, their daily practices, their incentives, and the execution upon that. And by doing so in a consistent, persistent way, aligned with my definition of happiness, that by the time Jeffrey Pinzon is my age, he's going to be well qualified as at least one of my 1,000. And he's already on his way, right? He puts on his own events. He's already empowering people. But after enough repetition of videos, live conversations, coaching, all the things that we do together, I know that my job stops here. I'm not worried about Jeffrey's 1,000 or Jeffrey's not worried about the other 1,000. But that's the only way I'm going to get there.
Got it.
I would like to complete that last part of mentorship, being honest with yourself, asking for help, student of the calendar. So these are all things that people are incentivized to, because if they do all those things, we'll make more money, help more people, and have fun.
Yeah. So if you inspire 1 million people to inspire each 1,000 people each, or 1,000 people to inspire 1 million people each, then you get to over 1 billion.
Yeah. 1,000 times 1,000, a million times 1,000 is 1 billion.
Yep. Cool.
And it's beyond my lifetime. So I'm not limiting it by a human experience. Right? It's a collective consciousness. So it may be a legacy of 3 generations, mm-hmm. but it's the only way that I can create my mission of empowering over 1 billion people, creating a collective consciousness, knowing that if 1/8 of the world consciously is happy, then it'll overcome the other 7/8, right? One particle of light overcomes 1 million particles of darkness. And just understanding that, how can David Meltzer change the world? Maybe not in my lifetime, just the same way that Gandhi, and not to put myself into someone of that greatness, but think about it. My mission is that, how can I change the world? It may be outside of my human experience, but it will happen. Mathematically, it will happen.
What do you see as some of the hurdles potentially?
Apathy. So the biggest problem that people have is, I want it more for them than they want it for themselves. And so we talk about the desire that you must be what you can be. It's very difficult to take people with the desire that they must be what they can be and continually have them follow the values, the practices, execution model, incentives that are necessary in order to facilitate a consistent, persistent mm-hmm. pursuit. Why? Because human nature hates consistency. It just hates it. And so the simple things to do are simple not to do. Trust me, I can give you 4 things that you can perfect in your lifetime, guaranteed to provide you that empowerment. 1, you need air to live. If you become an expert at breathing, I promise you, it'll exponentially help your life. 2, eating. You need to eat to live. If you have and become an expert in nutrition, unbelievable performance in your life. 3, water. You need water to live. If you become an expert in hydration, I promise you, your performance will exponentially increase, thus allowing you to achieve so much more. And then sleep. You need sleep to live. If you don't sleep, eat, drink, or breathe, you are going to die. But people try to become experts at things that really don't matter, that don't allow them to have the capacity to do what they want to do.
As someone who spends my life focused on creating value for others, whether through speaking, writing, or entrepreneurship, finding the perfect gift for loved ones can feel like an impossible task. I always aim to give something that's thoughtful, high quality, and meaningful. But let's be honest, it's not always easy. This year, I found the perfect solution, Quince. Quince allows you to treat your loved ones and yourself to timeless, premium quality gifts at a price that makes sense. As someone who values efficiency and excellence, I was impressed by their approach to creating luxury without the luxury price tag. I've personally been drawn to their Mongolian cashmere sweater. It's a classic, versatile piece that fits right into my lifestyle. And if you're like me and travel a lot, their packable puffer jackets are a game changer. Lightweight, warm, and stylish, they're perfect for anyone on the go this holiday season. Quince is committed to doing the things the right way. They partner only with factories that follow safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices. And every piece they create is made with premium fabrics and finishes to give you that luxury feel. Get luxury this holiday season without the luxury price tag. Go to quince.com/playbook for a 365-day returns plus free shipping on your order. That's Quince, quince.com/playbook to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/playbook.
All right, I want to move to Napoleon Hill. I've heard you mention Napoleon Hill a bunch during these conversations. What I want to get to is the root of what inspired you from Napoleon. Can you take me back to the time in your life when you first read Napoleon's book? What book was it? Describe the time in your life when it influenced you the first time.
Yeah, so I was in law school and I was deciding whether to be a quote unquote real lawyer or to get involved in the internet and be a intrapreneur in a new world of the internet. Mm-hmm. And my professor, who was trying to convince me, he was actually my admiralty head, to convince me to go in the internet and be a sales guy, not a lawyer. He had me read Think and Grow Rich. Mm-hmm. I read Think and Grow Rich, and I believe, regardless of everybody else telling me the internet was a fad. I mean, Justice Scalia, to give you an idea of how resistant people are to technology, Justice Scalia, the greatest legal scholar maybe on earth at the time, told me right to my face when I demoed Westlaw to him that nobody, I repeat, son, nobody will ever do research on a computer. You need books. That's what the computer was built for, right? To synthesize data, to do research. But this is the type of thing that we fight. And so Think and Grow Rich changed the way that I looked at things and led me to believe and achieve. And it was that simple.
Was there like an aha moment where you were like, shit, Think and Grow Rich works? Like the things in this book really work.
Yeah, when I made my first $1 million 9 months out of law school, after reading the book and literally rereading the book every time I had fear, doubt. And then, ironically, later on, reading Outwitting the Devil when I lost everything. So I read maybe Think and Grow Rich 25 times, and I've read it even more since. But when I lost everything, somebody turned me on to Outwitting the Devil in 2011. It may have been Sharon Lecter herself. And I was like, holy shit. I wish they would have released this way earlier because it's better than Think and Grow Rich.
Nice. That's helpful. So, in preparation for this, I watched almost all of your interviews. I mean, almost all of them.
That's amazing.
Hours.
Because I haven't even done that.
I was trying to.
That's more than hours, questions. Brother.
I think it was probably like 4 or 5 hours. Maybe not all of them.
Yeah, yeah.
I also had ChatGPT help me.
Cool.
So one of the things that came up a few times was this motto that you have, like, do it now philosophy.
Yeah.
We actually have, my company is called Dieden, the Holding Company, do it now. And so I'm curious. What are some things that have strengthened your conviction that this is the way over the years? I'm trying to get to the root of all these things that you believe.
Yeah. So here's the root of what it is that time. Mm-hmm. So in the idea of do it now, you have to understand the difference between the human experience and the infinite experience. So the human experience only has one dependent variable, and it's 24 hours, meaning that the only dependent variable of all human beings is that if I tell you we're leaving in 7 minutes and 55 seconds, everybody will leave at the exact same time. It's a constant. And so for me, understanding that circumstances change, time, value, and emotion change instantly in every decision that you make, in every agreement that you make, implied, verbal, inherent, with consideration, it doesn't matter. The minute we come to an agreement, time, emotion, and value changes. So therefore, if we understand the use of time to do it now, prioritization is the key, but prioritization can't happen unless you know what's important to you according to the circumstances of the day. A cheat code in it is to cut out some of the 24 hours by having non-negotiables like sleep, like family, health, faith, finance, time, the study of time. So for me, it's 7 hours of sleep, 3.5 hours of non-negotiable behavior, which then takes out the circumstances of the day, because I am committed consistently 7 days a week, regardless of the circumstances, that I am going to have 7 hours of sleep. I'm going to spend 30 minutes with my wife. I'm going to spend 10 minutes studying time minimums. And therefore I got 13.5 hours a day, every day of my life, to take into consideration the reality of the day, the circumstances, derive the lessons from the past, the meaning of the past, and put myself into a divine direction and take myself out of resistance, because I'm allowing things to happen in divine time, because I know that the outcomes are related to the progress. The progress is related to behavior. The only definition or distinction of behavior is good behavior is behavior that's aligned with where you want to be or better. Bad behavior interferes with it.
I have to ask you about sports.
Good.
And I wanted to see if I could have a little twist on this. So everyone here in here is capitalists, I imagine. Sports are changing. What business opportunities do you see for the people who are interested in either investing into new sports businesses or people who want to get into new ventures?
Take your skills, your knowledge, and your desire in sports. Not sports itself, but in yourself. So it's really easy. Sports is not an industry, right? It's a backdrop. That's all it is. So for me, people ask me, how did you get to be the CEO of the most notable sports agency in the world? Well, Lee Steinberg thought the future of sports was in venture and technology. I was the only one with the type of law degree experience, et cetera, that I had. I'm not a great lawyer. I'm not a great sports agent. I had no real experience other than I was the top grade person that had the combination of venture capital knowledge and technology knowledge. So my skills, knowledge, and desire were aligned with where Lee thought sports was going. So if you want to get a job in sports, if you want to be involved in sports, it's really simple for me. Take inventory of your skills, your knowledge, and your desire. Look at what's doing well today in sports, what is stable in sports, and what you think is doing well in the future. Align your skills, knowledge, and desire with what's doing well today, what is stable today, and what you think is going to do well. And you'll have so many options, opportunities, and touches of favor in whatever backdrop. If it's, you know, AI, it doesn't matter. So most people don't take inventory. See, I don't believe in transition. All these athletes talk to me, hey, Dave, can you coach me transition out of the league? Military guys, can you transition me into this? Entrepreneurs outside of, you know, corporate world, a CEO, can you help me? You're not transitioning. You're expanding the skills, knowledge, and desire you have at all time to align with what's doing well, what's stable, what you think is doing well, according to the jobs, careers, and industries. And if you don't know, just look at the stock market and take inventory of what jobs, careers, and industries are doing well by looking at the best performing stocks. If you want to know stable, that's easy. Look at the stocks that haven't moved in the last 5 years. And if you want to know what's going to be doing well, look at the trends, look at the volatility, and pick and choose where you think that's the hardest one to align with, but will give the biggest payoff.
So let me try to take this from a different angle.
Sure.
If you were to start a new business today in the realm of sports,
sure.
What would you start? So like, if you answer the question that you just all posed us to ask ourselves.
Yeah, AI. So, I would have an AI consulting business for teams, leagues, and organizations. So they're a slow moving entity. team sports and organizations, they move at glacial speeds. So to provide a consultative service that has a huge ROI in that realm, so I could come in and put together a guaranteed return on investment very quickly by understanding how AI can be applicable to facility management, to marketing, sales, a variety of different things that they just don't know. It's the same that happened in digital marketing. They just were so far behind.
Got it. So you started a consultancy.
Yeah.
And approach teams. How would you approach them? Like, what would be your, like, in
top,
say?
Top down, as always. So I'd go ahead and find in person mostly, usually events that they're at, and be very intentional about asking them, hey, what are you doing today in AI? What do you like about it? What don't, to the highest level person I could get to at a charitable event, a function, a panel that they're speaking at, whatever it is, I'd approach them and be intentional and say, hey, you can have 1 minute. I was just curious, what are you doing today? What do you know about this? What's working? What's not working? And then say, would it help you if I did this?
And this would be a league or a team or?
Team, league, organization. Okay. And there's tons of them at every level. And I would get to the decision maker. I won't waste my time trying to work my way up with something like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Cool. Knowing that most likely the person I'm talking to is now going to tell the people below them, you need to talk to David.
Nice. Nice. Get out there in person, go to live events, solve a specific
problem. Find out where they are. Find the people that sit in the situation that I want to be in and ask them, can I be of service or do you know anyone that can help me?
Cool. Dude, appreciate your time.
That was awesome. Thank you. Yeah. That's here for Tyler. Okay. We got a minute. One question. Can I get one question? Somebody have a question for Ty? Anyone? Nick.
Thanks, Nick.
Very simple, but what's your greatest takeaway? Because like for me, like it could be a 20-minute car ride of just me and David asking questions, but then like, you just jam pack some.
Yeah, really good question. I really like how you think about the levers for solving your mission problems, so like making over a billion people happy. It's really clear to me that you've thought that through a bunch, and you know that your way of helping more than a billion people do this is through other individuals, other leaders. And so I appreciate that response and
love it.
I'm pumped to watch you do that. Actually,
well, I hope you're one of them. Thank you. All right, let's give him another round of applause.